Do you think Bobby Hebert ever wore real Zubaz pants?
I believe so.
Real Zubaz pants.
I
not
think he
baggy-ish, one-color sweatpants.
Well, let's ask
Zubaz
him.
Pants.
The man himself, Bobby Hebert, joining us right now on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Bobby, how you doing?
Doing great, boys. Great to hear familiar voices from the past.
Hello, Bobby.
I feel like I'm still alive.
Yeah, you just can't get rid of us, Bobby.
Bobby, have you ever worn Zubaz pants? Like real good old American Zubaz
doubt.
Pants.
Without a doubt. I even traded Zubaz pants with Brett Favre at the Pro Bowl. Yeah, in 1994, we played in the Pro Bowl in Hawaii. They were giving them out for free and all in the team colors. So I gave Brett my Falcons ones, and he gave me his Packer ones, and then Steve Young was upset because he couldn't trade with any other quarterback. So yes, I've definitely I've worn and rocked them, and I thought I was cool.
Have you ever worn jean shorts with work boots to work out in?
No, I ain't going that far.
All right.
I'm not part of the village people.
I'm just trying to find the limits, Bobby.
Every man has their line in the sand. You know what I love about Bobby, though? No matter what we bring up, he's got a story for it.
No,
that's why you're the best in the business.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm a little under the weather right now trying to fight it, and I got to be ready. I'm going to be at the edge of my seat, the LSU-Alabama game, and the Falcons coming to town. But if not this year, I don't know when for the LSU Tigers.
Where will you watch that game? Where are you going to watch it?
I will watch it at different venues in my house, and because I don't want people talking to me, like, you know, analyzing every play, and I'm kind of superstitious. If they start rolling, I might have the chair at a certain angle. I might be even in a different room leaning over to see the TV. So I'm kind of that superstitious. And I think that it started when T-Bob was at Alabama. It started actually in the game of the century when they won at Alabama 9-6. And obviously, I was in that number in the Superdome for the national championship when they got spanked. So I kind of like to watch it by myself and have to deal with anyone. So that's my game plan right now.
Bobby Hebert with us from New Orleans on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. I agree with you. If not now, when? I would imagine that's how everybody in the state of Louisiana feels, correct?
Yeah, and the bottom line is LSU has nothing to lose. I mean, what I mean by that is listen, you're on the road, a hostile environment, and I think at times when they played in Baton Rouge, they want to play so well for the home folks that they press, and you know, their sphincter gets a little tight. And then they're not playing for loose and fancy free. I don't think that'll be the case in Alabama, especially with Joe Burrow. But you know what you have to do, and this is critical, you can't play the game before the game. What I mean by that, you can't get so jacked up the night before you headbutt or you had the pregame meal and you're going crazy on the team bus going there. And then before the games even start, you feel like you spent all your emotion. That's why Alabama is so awesome. I think they know how to handle business, and that's why they've been so dominant. To me, the key is going to be, again, no one wants to hear this, but turning over the ball or taking it away. And that's one thing. Alabama has not given it away, I think, just 5 giveaways in 8 games. And I'm looking at what they tied for first in the SEC with 18 takeaways. I think if LSU's even, there's a reason why they're a touchdown underdog. I think if they plus one, they'll have a great chance to upset Bama.
What do you think Nick Saban's defense is going to try to do to slow Joe Burrow down? And what do you actually think of Joe Burrow?
Well, Joe Burrow's a top 10 first-round draft pick. I mean, if you saw the Auburn game, he got the crap knocked out of him on the sideline. He'll get up. I know his bell was rung, but he won't let you know it. Boy, I tell you what, they don't come tougher than Joe Burrow. Just the leadership that he brings to the table. It's intangibles that you can't coach. And, you know, Coach O was bragging on him. He goes, Bobby, he kind of reminds me of you. I mean, you know, you get a snot bubble knocked, and then he would just get back up. But the one thing, I was never a Heisman candidate. No, he's at a different level, and could end up being, depending how the season ends, you know, overall number one. When I stood by him, like just standing by him, he's like taller than me, kind of like a 6'5"-ish, kind of 6'4", 6'5", and I can see him going back home, and the Bengals are so desperate. Maybe the Bengals trying to draft him and resurrect, you know, their team where they're at. But I think the key is going to be to help both quarterbacks. You know, that's the quarterback's best friend. I don't care if it's Najee Harris for Alabama or Hilaire for LSU. what team can run and maybe keep the defense off balance? Because you just don't want the D-line for Alabama or even LSU at times just to be able to pass rush. But I would tell you this. I think they've already faced a tougher defense than Alabama and the Auburn Tigers. Those two big D tackles they have. So I know, you know, they're probably, you know, looking at the film and everything. And they haven't seen an offense like Alabama's offense, but this is not your typical Alabama defense of the past.
Bobby Hebert with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. You brought up the running game. As much as the game changes, and I've said it a million times, and I know Domino's tired of hearing me say it, you got to run the ball. You got to run the ball. If you don't run the ball, you're not going to win.
Hey, I'm on your side. Even with these explosive receivers and all that, now and then you got to keep a defense on balance. And you might have those splash runs. And I'm not saying 3 yards in a cloud of dust, but if you are spreading them out on yard passing, boy, what if you burst one 20 yards, another one for 15? No, that's how you attack a modern-day defense. It's not, you know, 3 yards and kind of Bear Bryant days and all that. But I'm on your side because I think the balance, and I know Dave Aranda's aware of that. He knows about Tua and everything and those explosive receivers, but he knows first things first, they have to somewhat contain Najee Harris. And what they have to do, this is another thing, too. This is whether you're Alabama defensive back or LSU defensive back. Well, okay, you're going to get passes thrown on you. You can't miss tackles. The yak. I mean, like Coach O was talking about, like a slant route. Okay, if they catch a 4-5 yard slant route, make the tackle. Don't let them break the tackle. Then all of a sudden it's a 15-yard game. So that's going to be key to looking at those open field tackles when you are successful running a play and how much are yards after the catch and who's making the tackles and who's missing them.
Bobby, I'm assuming it would be the greatest 30 days in Louisiana history, but can you even get yourself to think about LSU winning a national title and the Saints winning the Super Bowl in the same year?
It would be, we might succeed from the Union and be our own country by then.
I thought you'd just be getting over your hangover from the LSU win to go watch the Super Bowl.
Well, you know what? It's kind of a good omen. Deja vu, not a good omen because LSU lost it, but think about this. Because the last time, okay, basically, it's a decade. The last time the Saints won the Super Bowl was in Miami. Who that nation took over South Beach. Okay, look where the Saints are at right now. The last time that LSU was in a national championship was in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Look, it's supposed to be the game of the century. That's one thing. How can you have more than one game of the century?
Good point.
I mean, to me, that's so ridiculous. But it was the game of the century. And no one thought they'd have to play him again and beat him in national championship. But, again, that was Les Miles. I mean, Les Miles having a whole month and still running the speed option with 3rd and 11 and not having no clue. That's one thing with Coach O and his staff. I think because the turnover at Alabama, Coach O's staff is better than Alabama's staff right now. Now, I can see you give definitely the edge of a Coach Saban over Coach O. But as far as the staff, they're not getting out coached this time around. They'll have the right game plan. And what Coach O will show you how he's matured as a head coach. He knows what he knows, and he knows what he doesn't know. He knows he's a stud, ace recruiter. Now, he'll get really upset if the D-line's not playing well. But I tell you what, the combination with Ensminger and Joe Brady, they're running the same offense. They run so many plays that are similar to the Saints. When Joe Brady was with on the Saints staff last year, but they got the quarterback to do it. Now, Joe Burrow's not, Drew Brees. But look at Teddy Bridgewater. He goes 5-0. No, it's amazing right now. Football is rolling in the Big Easy. And, LSU fans are Saints fans and vice versa. But, they've been chomping at the bit. They're a little antsy. They're not even concentrating at work. All they want to do is talk about the game. I don't know how much production's getting done this week at the different job sites.
Bobby, we talked about it like Saturday at a car dealership in Baton Rouge or in Tuscaloosa. Who's even working? Who's going to go buy a car at 3:30 in the afternoon?
No, that's the time you rob the bank.
Right.
You know how the dolls.
Yep. We said
you're a criminal. That's the time.
It's,
yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Right. There. No. It is. I don't know the ratings. And if you're not watching it, then that individual in town, you look at them and like something's wrong with them. They go, I didn't know LSU's playing Alabama today. They'd be like, what, are you a communist? Come on.
We're going to kick you out of the country of Louisiana.
Got to be tarred and feathered, to quote you, Bobby.
Bobby, this is what I was wondering about, and this might be the dumbest thing I've ever asked you, but does any of your Falcons, your time here, does any of you feel bad about what's going on with the Falcons?
Listen, I don't hate it on the Falcons, but the Who That Nation does. So I'm almost like one of those rebellious leaders that, you know, because I said the term Who That Nation on December the 10th, 2006, right after Katrina and the people calling in from Virginia and Missouri, and we had waxed the cowgirls like 42-17. And I said, well, there's a Who That Nation out there. So some of them still say, how can the founding father of the Who That Nation have played with the Atlanta Falcons? So I just said, hey, I'm a mercenary. You know how you have coups all the time.
Sure.
You just kind of take over.
It's not personal. So it's business.
Yeah, exactly. It was all business. And but when you look at Atlanta, where they're at right now, boy, to be – and you know what? Saints fans, they love to bring this up. They love to bring up a 28-3, 3 minutes and something left in the third quarter. I should remember the exact time. And, boy, it's amazing to be so close. And so far, almost a little bit like the Saints with the non-call, because you cannot have a non-call to go to the Super Bowl last year. But for Atlanta to be that close to win a Super Bowl and not win, and I don't know, you could see it affected them long-term, but I'm looking right now, they're riding, a six-game losing streak, and they've lost 12 of 16 since week 9 last year. So, no, off the blank, the natives are definitely restless in Atlanta. But you know what I noticed? Playing in Atlanta, and we did some Georgia Tech. I remember at 7-9 in the zone, we did a few Georgia Tech pregame stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That it's kind of Georgia Tech was like Tulane, and Georgia and LSU is similar. You know, they're the big dogs in town. See, here is kind of, it's this 50-50. I think in Georgia, there's way more Georgia, it ain't even close, because you go in the country, way more Georgia Bulldog fans than Falcons fans. Now, look at all the roots. Now, if the Falcons are winning, they'll be on the bandwagon. And they'll want to be in that number. So that's just an observation that I've noticed, you know, both with the Falcons and with the Saints. But, boy, you know what's bad is when your head coach like Dan Quinn, and it'd be like Sean Payton and the Saints' offense sucks. Well, isn't that your background? Well, right now, with the Falcons' defense being horrendous, is that and Dan Quinn's a defensive coach. That's why I think it's kind of unacceptable for Arthur Blank and where the team's at right now. And I don't know if y'all can correct me if y'all ever witnessed this. Have you ever seen during the season in the NFL, in high school, that you're going to switch a wide receiver coach to the secondary?
I was going to ask you about that. I've never seen that happen any place at any level.
Well, and I know Raheem Morris has a defensive background with the secondary, but I was like, boy, that shows you desperation right there. I can see maybe you, changing up coaches. To go from one side of the ball in the NFL, I'm with you. I was talking with Juice McCallis about that. He goes, boy, that shows you that the Saints, they're trying to do anything. And but what do y'all think about Arthur Blank? Because you know how, you never want a vote of confidence. Well, how about if the owner doesn't give you any vote of confidence? Is that worse? Is that a young evaluation?
Well, he spoke after a game, Bobby, and I just didn't think he was supposed to speak unless he was firing Dan Quinn or actually saying Dan Quinn is going to be here for the rest of the year, because then everything becomes an interpretation. And that's not that's not helping. I don't need interpretations based upon what an owner is saying after a game.
Yeah, because, what does he really mean by that? Then you're trying to read between the lines and all that. No, that's never good amongst the team.
Let me ask you, do you believe, we've talked about this, it happened with Drew Brees and Sean Payton. They were going for a record, and they just shoved it. They just shoved it a game against the Falcons. Does the opponent matter for Payton, Brees, that team, that organization? If they're up 3 touchdowns, do they want a fourth more against this team? Is that a real thing with the Saints-Falcons game?
Hell yeah. No, it's a real thing with Sean Payton and Drew Brees. Hell yeah. Even when Sean plays Dallas and the Cowgirls. We had like a... One game that had 41 first downs against Dallas. No, they going pedal to the metal. Now, with Drew's thumb, depending on the scenario, then I could see maybe Bridgewater coming in. But, that's one thing. Sean Payton has been take no prisoners.
Bobby,
and, it's amazing that there's not a never a conservative approach.
Yeah, it could get ugly. Before we let you go, Bobby, please indulge us for those that haven't heard it once again with the Lawrence Taylor Jim Dombrowski story when a grown man started crying in the huddle?
Well, I mean, come on. You can't blame Dombrowski.
No, not at all. I don't blame him.
Well, because Lawrence Taylor made a lot of people cry. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like man tears. You know, you could get so frustrated.
Sure.
You know, there's nothing wrong with crying, but no, we were playing the Giants, and Jim Dombrowski's at left tackle, and boy, he's all fired up. I'm going against, Lawrence Taylor. Now, you know, Jim Dombrowski from Buffalo, played at the University of Virginia. He's very smart. He would write a whole theme paper on his opponent. You know, Stan Brock would be, I don't know, just punch him in the mouth. But what he, just block him. So he's all got Lawrence Taylor figured out. So at the beginning of the game, now we're just starting. And I said, well, Lawrence Taylor. And I'm looking at Lawrence Taylor across the line. He probably was on cocaine that time because he looked like a wolf. I mean, it's like a demonic being. I'm like, man, that's the only player I was ever scared of. I didn't want to make eye contact with him because he looked so vicious. And then here's Jim Dombrowski, a left tackle. He said, okay, I'm going to attack him. I'm going to go at him and I'm going to nail him. Because Jim Dombrowski is like 6'6", 320, 330 in that range. So Lawrence Taylor could sense that he was leaning harder on his toes. So he just swam him. I'm talking about he beat him in less than half a second. And wham, I'm getting hit three steps. And he's like, okay, I figured out what he's doing. Okay, then all of a sudden, the next time, he could sense Dombrowski was back on his heels. And Lawrence Taylor picked him up and threw him into me. And man, I'm getting almost blew out my knee. And I go, come on, bro. I'm saying, what the, few choice words. You got to at least slow him down. I don't care if they call holding on you. Just hold him. It's like the middle of the second quarter. And he goes, I'm trying, but I can't. Like, come on. What do you want me to do?
Second quarter? Like, oh, that's never what you want to hear your offensive lineman say.
It was the middle of the second quarter, and I'm like, oh, great. So then I said, I got to try a different psychological approach. I was like, come on, you can do it. Come on, just keep fighting. So I'm trying to, he never could play tackle after that. It was a great offensive guard. Ended up playing like 12 years, double-digit seasons at offensive guard for the Saints, and was legit. He was a first-round draft pick, but LT blew his mind, never could play tackle again, and had to move to guard.
He made a man change positions in the NFL.
Bobby, I think you coined a new term, by the way, man tears. Don't think that slipped by me. I caught that.
Yeah, man, come on. Do you cry at a good movie, Chris, at times? Do you what?
Listen, I'm an emotional fella. I know what you're talking about. I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Hey, Bobby, real quick, before we let you go, you were going to hold out 1 year for how much money?
I was going to be the first $1 million. When I held out in 1990, I was going to be the first $1 million player in the Saints organization. So the whole Dawn Patrol is around me. Jim Fink said, you have no rights. We own you. It came out in the case with Judge Doty in Minnesota, the antitrust lawsuit. So anyway, where I was ranked, I was paid like number 19, but I was ranked anywhere like from number 7 to 11. So here I was trying to get like $1.2 million. So you had a hard-headed Cajun, hard-headed old-school general manager, and ended up sitting out that whole year. But when I came back in 91, that's why I give Coach Mara credit. He was on my side then. He said, I'm not signing an extension until you bring Barrett back. If John Forcade and Steve Walsh would have worked out with the Saints, I never would have came back to the Saints. It didn't work out. I came back in 91. Now, here's things that want to give me $1 million in 1990. He had to give me $1.8 million in 91. And now I look what they get paid now. What it took me 15 years to make sure they make in a year.
And that was my question. If you have a pulse, Bobby, you get 20. You have a pulse, you get 20. That's the number now. You have a pulse, you get 20.
Right. It's unbelievable the incompetence at that position. 32 teams, there's always going to be 10, 12 teams that are looking for a different guy. It's just supply and demand. And that's why even whether you like Dak Prescott or not or those type of individuals, look, Kirk Cousins. What does Kirk Cousins want? He got $100 million. Now, you got to look at the guarantee and all that. But, no, it's just supply and demand. There's not enough quarterbacks.
Bobby, enjoy the weekend. Let's talk again.
All right. Nice hearing your voice.
Appreciate
awesome.
It, Bobby.
You're the best.
Talk to you later.
Thanks,
the absolute best. Bobby Hebert joining us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Domino, he's got a story for everything. We brought up Zubaz, and he told a great story.
And it had Brett Favre in it.
Yeah, it's not just a story.
Pro Bowl game Brett Favre.
It's a great story, and Steve Young was upset because he couldn't trade his Zubaz with anybody. I mean, how do you get a story out of that? Only Bobby Hebert can do it. Always a pleasure having him on.